Confidence, leadership skills, and social skills are just a few of the benefits of being involved in organized sports as a child. For many throughout Armenia, specifically girls in rural villages, this opportunity is not possible due to a lack of resources and general ambivalence towards girls in sports in Armenia. That is why in 2014, GOLS, Girls of Armenia Leadership Soccer, was formed to instill confidence and build future well-rounded leaders while providing a fundamental aspect to being a kid, having fun. Join us as we learn more about life for girls in villages throughout Armenia and how sports is now an integral part of instilling a strong female future for Armenia. Pati Luis, my name is Sophia, and I'm the co-host of this podcast with Executive Director Peter Bajian. Today, we're joined by Tenny Avakian, CEO of GOLS, Girls of Armenia Leadership Soccer. Welcome to our show, Tenny.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
Pati Luis, actually, you both are in Armenia right now. So it's Pati Luis for you guys. It's nighttime here. But yes, thank you so much, Tenny, for joining us today. And we're just going to get started with if you could tell our listeners a little bit about you, your background, and how you got started with GOLS.
Thank you so much for having me on this amazing podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. It's really an interesting story because I was in between opportunities at the time, and I was approached by a mutual friend of GOLS and myself to sort of join the organization. And when I heard about what they did and you know, how they provide opportunities for girls to not only be part of a sports activity, you know, lead a healthy lifestyle, but also have build a community around themselves. It sort of took me back to when I moved to Armenia, because I'm a repat, but we moved to Armenia in 96, which was a pretty difficult time to sort of be in Armenia. And for a split second, I was like, wow, if such an opportunity existed for me when I was a teenager, you know, living in Armenia, in Yerevan, it would have been amazing because, you know, teenagers go through a lot of different things. And, you know, having the opportunity to be part of a community, whether it be a sports community or any sort of after school activity, it gives you confidence. It teaches you skills that you don't necessarily learn in a formal setting. And, you know, I think that that was what it was that sort of hooked me on GOLS. You know, I was like, this is something that every girl should have the opportunity to have access to. And my feeling was also that like Yerevan in 96 is essentially what our rural communities look like today. And so I had a great sense of what it was that these girls are going through. Not to mention, I did work at Teach for Armenia for, you know, 5-something years. And so my work was mainly in rural communities with children from underprivileged settings. So, you know, I was well versed in what some of the challenges were that these girls were going through and what societal pressures they had. And so, you know, add the fun aspect of having the informal engagement of sports. I was like, this is perfect. I get to, you know, bring joy to these kids' lives. And not only do they get to, you know, learn how to lead a healthier lifestyle, but I get to be part of providing an opportunity, an alternate opportunity to learning, to gaining life skills through sports. And so that's when, you know, I decided to become part of the GOLS greater family. As you mentioned, GOLS was launched in 2000. It was actually formally launched in 2016, but the idea came about in 2014. And it was absolutely based on the fact that opportunities for girls to participate in sports was not only unavailable, but frowned upon. And so, you know, what we wanted to do was, first of all, bring that opportunity to girls all across Armenia, you know, break the gender stereotypes around sports, teach these girls leadership skills and any, you know, all the life skills that are necessary, honestly, that you learn through sports. So, yeah, that's how I came about in a nutshell.
That's just amazing, Tenny. You know, we've had a long relationship with Goals, and it's been incredible to see the evolution of the organization. But I want to, you know, you were talking about regions and the villages. So, you know, I think Goals has more than 600 and, you know, probably 50 people, I think, involved in the leagues around the country. And I think they're mainly based in villages. I know you have teams in the cities as well. But, you know, let's focus in on the village aspect of this. You know, what's a typical, you know, participant's life like? If you could just do a quick comparison before Goals and with their participation in Goals.
You know, I think Armenia is very unique in the sense that each village, although they might seem similar on the outside, they're actually quite different on the inside. And that's directly linked to the history of each community. You know, how they came about, who is the population of that community, what sort of historical trauma do they have? I mean, as unfortunate as it is, it completely shapes the way communities function today. And so it, you know, one of the general overarching things that I've come across is that, you know, there are certain expectations from our girls. And it's really interesting because if you look at the statistics, girls outperform boys in schools. Like in terms of getting an education.
But, let's not go crazy now.
No, but it's a fact. It's the truth. They outperform. But at the same time, the expectation for what these girls should do with the received education, at least, you know, after high school, is minimal. Whereas the boys are expected to overachieve after they're done with school. So there's an unrealistic... maybe unrealistic isn't the right word, but there's a gap in mm-hmm. what the expectations are, you know, from the girls and from the boys. And as we slowly also develop the programs to, you know, include boys into what we're trying to accomplish, you know, one of the things that we want to do is sort of raise the expectations that societies and parents and communities have for their girls. But at the same time, try to influence, you know, the communities to have more realistic expectations from their boys. Not to lower the standard or lower the bar by any means for the boys in the communities, but when you set an extremely high expectation, there's a high chance that these kids are not going to ever reach that or even going to try to reach those expectations. Bluntly put, girls should have a great education but not necessarily use it. They must become, you know, great mothers, great, you know, people who take care, you know, individuals who take care of their families, take care of their husbands, bear and raise children. And if and when the husband is absent, you know, traveling abroad for work or whatever it may be, then they must also contribute to the agricultural aspect of the upkeep of the home, if that's something that they're involved in. So the women's role is extremely heavy. In rural communities. And this starts from a very young age because girls are also put into the position of taking care of siblings because mom is, you know, out on the fields or, you know, working or unavailable. So they're put into these roles that are not necessarily they're not necessarily built for or should have that type of burden or responsibility or have the skills to take on that type of, you know, responsibility. The whole point with goals is, I mean, we're not here to say what's right or wrong. We're not here to criticize. We're not here to, you know, say that there's only one way and the right way is our way. What we want to do is provide the opportunities for these girls to learn skills. So if they should choose to take a different path in life, then they are able to take a different path in life. And ultimately, and I like to say, you know, phrase it this way, taking their lives from chance to choice. Right?
So wow, that's incredible. And I, you know, I was poking around on the website and, you know, part of the mission statement essentially says, you know, by using sport for social impact, Goals aims to equip youth with confidence and resilience to face and resolve challenges both on and off the field. So there's two pieces of that statement I saw that I kind of took note on. You know, one is what you were just talking about, you know, giving these girls the opportunities to make choice, which is incredible. And I'd like you to continue that thought. But the second thing is, you said youth and not girls. So is there a, you know, what's the opportunities or what are the ultimate goals to change perceptions with, you know, young men in that same village, for instance?
I mean, Goals thus far has mostly provided programming for girls. There's been two cases where we have co-ed activities. One is our summer camps where we include, it's a co-ed space. And the second one was when we launched programming in Artsakh. It was very sensitive because we felt like we didn't want to exclude the boys from being able to participate in an after-school activity, especially and specifically in Artsakh, because there's a great lack of nonprofit organizations being able to run anything in that space. And we wanted to make sure that we're creating an inclusive space in Artsakh. Now, the reason that we're only working with girls or have been working with girls thus far isn't because we want to exclude the boys, because if we're talking about discrimination, then this is also a form of discrimination. And if we want to talk about gender equality, then, you know, boys really need to be in on the conversation. It's just been a matter of resource, right? So like prioritizing the girls, their needs. But if we had greater resource, then this is something that we would absolutely want to do in the future, along with expanding our sports portfolio.
No, that's incredible. And it's great to hear the sentiment of the inclusivity and the empowerment, because you also don't want to go the other direction and exclude either. Like you said, they should be part of the conversation. And while we were on the website, we found another thing that caught our attention. It was actually a statistic. And it said, according to the 2020 Global Gender Gap Report, Armenia is among the lowest ranked countries in terms of women in politics and leadership positions. And it said 11% of women. So how is Goals and the organization actively working to combat this statistic?
Yeah, I mean, it just comes down to like the expectations of what we have for our girls. And Armenia is a country, especially in the rural communities, where, you know, these girls have their immediate, family that has a huge influence on, you know, the choices they make in life. And then there's the school, and then there's the larger community as a whole. So their entire ecosystem is directly influencing their life choices. And this goes down to like what they want to learn in college, like what major they want to have, what they want to do with their life, if they want to continue to get a higher education. Unfortunately, it's not a choice yet. And so this sort of trickles up essentially when you know, girls are provided with opportunities to, you know, be in leadership roles, there's a lot of self-censorship happening. And this is something that we've taken notice of in the past year or so. We initially thought that it was a lot of pressure from the community and like their peers to sort of step back. But what we've come to notice is that even when provided the opportunity to grow, that there's a lot of self-censorship happening. And, you know, in the beginning I said, you know, what part of the influence of these communities is a lot of like the history and the, you know, historical trauma that they carry and the burden that they carry. And so even if like their parents aren't directly telling them, no, you can't do something, it's just sort of generational that this is the way things have been done. And so there's, you know, it's so unfortunate to see. However, we work with kids and it's pleasantly, it's pleasant to see how easily it is to show them that there are other ways of doing things and other ways of approaching things and how susceptible they are to learning new things and you know, becoming these fierce future leaders. And we've seen this. We've seen this in our communities. There was this one instance where I was in a meeting with, you know, a bunch of different female-led and female-oriented organizations in Armenia. And one of the girls, or one of the, you know, participants came up to me after the meeting, and she was co-founder of a feminist, like, library. And she said, you know, she's like, Tenny, I was a goals girl. I'm like, wow. Oh my God, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, I used to play soccer in Kotayk, in one of the villages in Kotayk. And it's because of that, that I had the courage to, you know, think outside of my box and be able to, you know, do something like this. There was, you know, one of our, I think there's like four or five female referees in Armenia that are at a pro level, not a big enough number, but you know, it's a start. And again, one of them came up to me during one of our last games and she was like, you know, I also used to be a goals girl. And so it's, you know, you slowly see that these, a simple thing like an after school sports activity can have such a major impact on someone's life. Coming from the West, we sometimes take these types of opportunities for granted. We don't realize what it actually can give a child, especially a teenage girl. And so it, you know, I love seeing how empowered our girls become, both on the field and off the field. I like to think that life is a team sport. And, you know, one of the skills that we obviously teach is teamwork. And whether they choose to take those skills into building a family, which is, again, a team sport in my head, or, you know, going out into the workplace, breaking molds, breaking the ceiling, we've now sort of equipped them and empowered them to be able to do so. I don't think that goals or any one organization has the silver bullet to be able to solve, you know, sort of all the problems and issues that we have. And I think that it's through collaboration with different organizations and people and communities is that, you know, we can sort of like take steps forward.
Definitely.
I absolutely love the fact that you said life is a team sport. Some days I feel like, you know, it's synchronized swimming, and other days I feel like I'm in the midst of a rugby match.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and that's incredible. It's a beautiful sentiment that you're giving these girls and these young adults the choice and empowering them, whatever they choose to do with their lives, to do it with confidence and with skills that will set them up for success. And speaking of success and in the future, how do you see life for girls and women in general in Armenia, you know, evolving in the next 5, 10, 15 years? You mentioned, you know, life in 1996, and now the villages is kind of in that same place now that Yerevan was in 1996. So where do you see the villages evolving and Yerevan and just all throughout Armenia?
Honestly, I think that as much as maybe being a smaller country could be a disadvantage, I think in this type of scenario, it becomes an advantage because there's not a lot of us. And the impact that, like, currently Goals works in 80 communities across Armenia. That's 10% of all rural communities. That's a big impact. That's a, you know, we have a big outreach. And just having experienced, you know, being in Armenia from 96 to today and seeing how, even without like making a conscious effort to sort of evolve the role of women, it's sort of happened organically. I think that if we make a conscious effort, I think that if there's a collective sort of understanding that we need to be able to provide opportunities and we need to be able to, you know, sort of empower girls and women to step up, then at the pace at which women are able to, not able to, but want to, because we're able, we just need to want to to participate in more leadership roles and sort of be more forward facing. I think there's going to be a great, you know, I think that at this rate, I think that we're going to be in a better place 5 to 10 years from now. But it's up to organizations like Goals and, you know, other amazing partners that we have to, you know, push things forward. Like if we do nothing, then nothing will happen.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, so talking about doing, we have a signature question that we always ask as a way to inform our listeners on, you know, what they can do to get involved. So, you mm-hmm. know, signature question, Tenny, what can somebody do to get involved with Goals and your mission?
Thank you for, you know, giving me that space to sort of speak out on this topic. You know,
all right, obviously. Thank you, Tenny. Back to Sophia.
Obviously, you know, first and foremost, as a nonprofit organization, we're fully dependent on donations to be able to function and bring programming to, you know, as many children as we possibly can across Armenia. But outside of that, I think that, you know, something that we value is, you know, in-kind contributions. And when I say in-kind contributions, I mean, if you want to be involved, if you have a skill that you think that you can contribute to, you know, helping Goals out, whether that be in accounting or marketing or overall development, you know, we're more than happy to collaborate with individuals that want to sort of be part of this mission. And if you're in Armenia and you want to take some time and, you know, help us with our sports programming, we'll be happy to have you, you know, volunteer with in our space. Summertime is a great time to do that. We have several summer camps that we run, but also throughout the year, specifically in the spring and fall. Winter is a bit harsh. That's when you know, everyone takes a pause for a minute. But you know, if you want to be part of this family, we're more than happy to help you. And also, any type of sports gear donations are welcomed.
That's awesome. You know, I think we have a project listed on our website for people to support goals through. And I think you guys also have a site and social media. So why don't you make a not so modest plug?
We are a 501c3 organization now, so you can donate directly on our website at www.goalsarmenia.org. Absolutely follow our social media to see what's up, both on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. Just search for Goals Armenia and we will pop up. Yeah,
and I'll put the links to your website in the podcast description so people can easily find your website and your social media handles.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you, Tenny, for being part of our podcast today. It was really great to hear everything that Goals is doing and really your positive outlook on the future of Armenia for youth and girls. And it's a beautiful thing. And I can't wait to see where it keeps growing and how you are changing Armenia one sports player at a time.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's always a pleasure to talk about the work that we do. It actually sort of re-energizes me to be able to like do what we do. And it's, you know, always fun talking to Peter. So
thanks, Tenny. You guys both have a terrific day and evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all our listeners. We hope you have a good day.